Hello and welcome to Roll for Topic, a roundtable discussion about topics related to running role-playing games. I'm Chris Salzman.
And I'm Andy Rao.
Andy, World Cup fever is upon us. I don't know if you've caught the fever or not. By the time this goes out, I think the finals will be set. I think there's a game on Thursday when this comes out. The finals is on Sunday. And I have become like 100% fully like addicted to soccer over the past.
Have you really?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, so yeah. A couple weeks ago, even I was complaining to to my collaborators on the Zombie Strains podcast.
Yeah.
Does the World Cup just always go for like 3 years? the whole idea, a sports thing is special. It becomes less special when it takes 6 months to complete. That out as a non-sports person.
You would think that, but no, it just becomes more and more special as it goes on. Yeah.
All right.
So this happens to me. I mean, I think like the first time I remember watching the World Cup was like, it was like summer, I was in college or something, so I don't know what it would have been. You know, I can't quite do the math on air like this, but I just remember like sitting on the couch and then turning on to like Telemundo, right? Because it was like the only place you could watch these things, and I just watched like game after game of the World Cup, and like this is odd behavior for me. I will traditionally go for years at a time without really like thinking hard about sports at all, especially not like, you know, international football.
right.
Yeah. And then like all of a sudden the World Cup rolls around and like I try to ignore it for a little bit, and then just like something happens. Someone's talking about a game and I'm just like, well, this is it. This is my personality now. The funny thing is though, so like we're in a Discord with, you know, some other GMs and, you know, people that have been on the podcast and stuff. There's a lot of us like this. So yes. I found there's been this massive shift.
I know, because you guys don't shut up about the World Cup in the Discord.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So all of a sudden all these nerds, it's just like, we just become jocks for like a couple months and then we'll go back to normal after. But yeah, it's amazing. And I apologize. We're trying to keep it sequestered into threads and stuff.
Right. Yeah, and I'm joking. It's actually delightful to see people getting excited about this.
Yeah, it's funny. You're like, we're all watching the games separately because, you know, we're all busy adults. We're not getting together for them and just like, like sending messages back and forth about like, did you see that? Like,
Your kids are the right age where they can get kind of pulled in by the spectacle, or is watching like a 3-hour soccer game or something a little much for them?
Yeah. So to my great surprise, all of a sudden my daughter, who's 11, she's gotten super into it to the point where she got really annoyed that we were like 2 minutes late to watch watch a recent game. She's like, oh, did Argentina started? And I'm like, oh yeah, it did. We gotta run inside and put it on. So that's been really great. My 6-year-old could not care less. He's super bored by the whole thing. It's really fun. I mean, it's fun watching her try to like wrap her mind around it, right? Because she's 11, so I mean, geography is sort of still something she's learning too. So she's like, you know, asking questions about
International element really gives it something that you don't get from like the Super Bowl or something. Oh, right?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, like the first question she asked was like, "Well, why don't all the individual like, you know, states have teams too?" I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, it, you know, we're competing, you know, nation against nation. So everybody's putting their best from across all their states, right?"
Like,
So that's had some fun, you know, kind of like, you know, questions arise. But yeah, so I mean, she's super into it. So she'll watch games with me like almost the whole way through, asking questions and pretty engaged.
A person who's like pulling for certain teams, or are you a person of like, just give me a good game, to a good match and I'll enjoy it?
Yeah, mostly it's like a good game for me. I was trying to explain this. So I'm very much a fair weather fan when it comes down to it, but also like all of my fandom is based on like, I don't know, people who I know that are, who care more, care more about it.
Yeah.
Right. So, I've got a really good friend who is French, French American. And so obviously I'm rooting for France because why not? Right. But then I also have, I've got a niece who's marrying someone from England soon. So I'm also kind of rooting for England. Yeah. Like I've got no real reason why I'm rooting for people. I mean, obviously like the US did pretty well this year, all things considered, compared to what they normally do. So, right. So you got to kind of root for your home team too, but it's just like, you know,
right.
There's something about, I think, international sports. Cause I do like occasionally we'll watch Olympic stuff and it's the same thing there. Like all of a sudden I'm patriotic in a way that I
know. Yes.
My life. But yeah,
it's like one of the last things where you can just like revert to a state where you're just like proud to be from your country. Yeah. You know, like it,
yeah.
There's so few contexts anymore in which that makes a lot of sense, but mm-hmm. like sports is one that you can do it and feel good about it.
Yeah. It's silly, but I mean, you know, I think we sort of need this every once in a while.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you know, FIFA is like the most corrupt organization on this planet. And like, there's all sorts of other issues with that, but I'll tell you what, they put on a heck of a game. Yeah.
I mean, I want to say that's all that matters, but that's probably not actually all that matters. But, you know, but we'll take it, right?
Yeah, sometimes you got to kind of turn off your brain, I guess.
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, I bring all that up because I want to talk, like, our topic, I think, today, and we'll get to it in just a little bit. Like, I wanted to talk about just, like, games within games, right? Like, what do you do with sports, or, like, you know, what have you seen done with sports within your tabletop games, too? But before we get into that, so you said you traveled recently. And when you travel, you usually bring a game book along with you to read.
I do.
So,
it's always like a really tortured choice of like what book to bring.
Ooh, yes.
And
yes.
The choice is tempered, hanging in the background. The elephant in the room is like the fact that I won't actually spend much time reading it. Like it just feels like a statement. Like what book do I put the GURPS books in the suitcase for some reason? Like why, you know, like,
yes. Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did you bring this last time?
So this last time I had a couple kind of candidates for what goes into the bag, and what I landed on is the Coriolis RPG.
Oh yeah.
It's like a sci-fi RPG from Free League. You know, it's got their trademark, you know, like good production values and all that cool stuff. And,
they put out a soundtrack for Coriolis, like as part of that. Yeah, that I listen to every once in a while. It's like this really nice, like dark ambient. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I gotta fire that up. Yeah. I ran a while ago, I ran a one shot of like the first edition of Coriolis, and it was I don't know if I could get a group together around it, but it was an enjoyable one shot, and I enjoyed the world and the setting. And it's just, you know, I don't know. It just seemed a little different. Once I got out there, I was, you know, like, oh, I should have brought Daggerheart or something like that, you know, my mood flies all over the place. But, but no, so I spent some time reading that and, enjoyed it. So now I'm back here and I guess the question is, am I going to put together a game of it? And I guess I have to think about that. So,
yeah, I often find like if you get to the point where you're like, well, I have to think about that, it's probably never going to, that one's not going to happen.
That's
the
sinking feeling I have.
Yeah. Yes, but, do you find when you're getting ready for a trip? Because like I do this all the time, like, and I also bring, you know, game books with me when I'm traveling, that I start to make like a pile of like all the ones that I'm like, oh, I got to bring this, I got to bring that. You know, and then you look at it, you're like, what am I doing? I'm gone for like 3 days. I know I'm going to have like an hour. So you slowly start to put things back.
I always packed a ludicrous number of books. And then what happens is I end up buying like a used book on the vacation and reading that instead. And like the 18 pounds of other books that weighed down the suitcase. I don't know. You know, I don't know what it is about trips that like it's like you can kind of give yourself an excuse of like, just to read something that you've been putting off forever or that it like just you're not going to read normally. I don't know. You know, it's like you're leaving your regular context. So you can kind of say like, I'm going to pick a beach read in it because I never read those, or I'm going to read, you know, I don't know. I enjoy the like the little excuse to like break out of, you know, the slog of to read books that I have, you know, on my list.
Yeah. There's something to that. I mean, I think a recent trip, that I took, I grabbed The Prestige, which was just like on our shelf. Right. And like, I don't read a lot of physical books these days just cause I'm a e-reader, but like we had the physical books. So I just grabbed that. And that ended up being like the thing that I just read the entire time on that trip. But it's funny. My daughter is at a sleepaway camp this week. And so she was packing, and of course she packed like two giant Percy Jackson related novels, which is super great. And I just was like having flashbacks to me packing for, you know, camps and trips and stuff in summer when I was growing up, where I'd also do that, right? It'd just be like, you know, a backpack full of like, you know, a bunch of books. But I mean, when I was like younger like that and I had no responsibilities other than just to kind of relax, like I would read all those, right?
Yeah,
you know, like you'd get through them all.
You know, just this morning I saw another article. It was like reading is dead. Kids aren't reading anymore. And like mm-hmm. that might be true, but every kid I know brings like 800 pound chonkers yeah. with them everywhere they go. Like, you know, and yeah. is it Tolstoy? No, but like, you know, yeah. certainly, you know, so.
I will say probably based on who we are, the sorts of other people we hang out with, like, yeah, that actually makes sense. Like, you know, then,
yeah. It's probably, yeah. yeah. I mean, the data probably is correct.
Yeah.
but yeah. But, yeah.
yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I wanted to, yeah, like, I want to talk a little bit about this kind of like this games within games thing, right? So, I mean, like, you know, obviously, like, you know, watching the World Cup has me thinking about like just football is a game, right? It's a very, the more that I learn about it, the more I think it's a very, I mean, it's called like the beautiful game, right? Like it's very strategic kind of moment to moment. There's all sorts of like little stuff happening on the field as well as, you know, kind of the larger context of what's happening in the tournament and all this sort of stuff. Like it's sort of like there's lots of stories happening yeah. within these sports games, right? So like there's just like the mechanical, like, I don't know, you could just kind of simulate it with like a sports video game side of it of just like, you know, they're mm-hmm. playing the game. But I mean, like, yeah, there's all this other stuff happening. There's all these other stats they're looking at, like who has the most goals this tournament, like, you know, who's about to retire, you know. Yeah. So it's really fun to watch, right? Once you start getting into some of that stuff. What I'm wondering is, like, have you, when you're playing like your tabletop games, do you try to bring in like sports at all, like, or other sorts of games within your kind of in-universe setting?
So it's been vanishingly rare that mm-hmm. sports have ever come into a game or two. Mm-hmm. The closest thing I can think of to sports would be like when I was younger running games in like the BattleTech universe, mm-hmm. they're like a pastime in the BattleTech universe are these like gladiator fights between mechs. Right.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know that we ever really got into that too much, but you know, that's a situation where like, you can just play out, if you want, you could play out the gladiator fight just with the regular game combat rules. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sports not so much. So like when I was younger, I did run a lot of spy RPGs, mostly the different editions of the Top Secret RPG,
mm-hmm.
which I have a lot of fond memories of, and that definitely did have situations, again pulled from things like Bond movies, where like you have to play blackjack or poker yes. against the villains, and you know, and that was always like, even as a kid who didn't know what I was doing as a GM, that always did strike me as like a weird thing.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, like one option is to like break out the cards and play
yeah.
around a game of poker with the players. Right.
Yeah.
But like that doesn't work if you need the person they're playing with to be extremely good or to be cheating or something like that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the same time, just, you know, all these games have some sort of like a gambling skill or make a deception check or, you know, make a intelligence roll to beat this, to win this game of poker. That always feels pretty flat,
yeah.
you know, as a way, it doesn't really capture the tension that you feel when you're actually in a game or a sport, you know? So I guess my answer is no. But the times that I have resolved gamey situations, it has always felt, I've always felt that weird tension between like a solution that doesn't really work practically and doesn't really scale playing the actual game or just like making a couple of die rolls to see who won. That also doesn't feel great. So
yeah, it's kind of interesting. I'm reading the book I'm reading right now is called The Score, and I can't remember the author's name, but he talks a lot about like how like just about different like kind of scoring methodologies that we use both in like our kind of our play and then you know, like in our business life and stuff. Like, right, he's kind of making a broader point that like metrics and scores and stuff within like bureaucracies and businesses end up being more damaging than they are. But when you look at like a board game or like a, you know, sports game, like any sort of like the games that we play, like all of those different rules and stuff like help provide ways for us to do interesting actions. Like, right, like, I mean, taking like the football for example, right, like you can't use your hands, right? So like that immediately, like it's an arbitrary rule, but it also is kind of like a core part of mm-hmm. that game. And then it means that all of a sudden, like, you have to do more stuff with your feet, right? Like, you got to do a lot with your feet. And like, then that kind of results in people getting really good at controlling the ball with their feet. And like, you know, all this stuff sort of just follows out from that simple rule. Same thing with board games, right? Or like card games, right? Like, you're talking about blackjack. It's like understanding, you know, the bidding process and like even just some of the basic rules. It's like, if you look at it, like, if you took a step back, it looks like silly, like, right? One person is just handing these pieces of paper to other people. And then every once in a while, someone gets really happy and they take all the chips. It's like, well, mm-hmm. you know, but you drill in and there's in theory, there's some strategy and like, you know, stuff like that happening, even in blackjack. When you're thinking about it at the game table, like, I'm with you. It's like, you know, I've done this before where you're kind of like in universe playing a game. And the only way you have to resolve it is because this is what the rules of the game give you. The mechanics is like to just do a die roll. Right. And like, that feels like that misses something about the game within the game. But I also don't know, like to your point with like the blackjack scenario, like if you have to have someone cheating, like, I don't know how you'd stack the deck to like make that mm-hmm. work, right? Yeah. Without it, like, kind of giving away what's happening, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Unless you yourself got really good at cheating at blackjack.
It reminds me of the struggle traditional RPGs have modeling something like a social encounter,
mm-hmm.
You know, like spending all night arguing with the king's advisors, about what's the best course of action or that's the sort of thing that really, like, when you, the older in RPG history you go, the bigger the divide between something like that and like the incredible second by second detail of a combat encounter.
I think
for a lot of people, that is an eye-opening experience when you realize, like, oh, I am going to resolve 3 days of negotiations with a single skill check.
Yeah.
But like, you know, but I'm going to roll the die 150 times in this, you know, fist fight with drunken goblins.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and plenty of games have come out and said, hey, other stuff besides combat needs its own gamified systems. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I still think, you know, I think it's a challenge. It's why you pick up even, you know, recent games that really lean into that stuff. And the combat section is still kind of feels like the core of the whole system, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 It's tricky because, like, you know, like, in some ways, you almost want to just, like, if you really want to lean into that, you almost want to stop and just use a different system entirely.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about in video games, right? So like Final Fantasy X, I think, had this game called Blitzball, which was like a, you know, kind of like a rugby style game, I guess you could describe it. And like, that was a totally different mechanic, but it also did have some like mechanical ties into like the rest of the combat game, but my opinion was it wasn't very fun. So it ended up being this thing that was like not an enjoyable part of the game, but you still had to interact with here and there. Yeah. And they, you know, they tried to, you know, weave into the story too, right? So like, one of the main characters in that game, you know, was a, you know, Blitzball champion and all that.
Yeah.
Right. So, but it's just like, it's interesting. I mean, like, even seeing like how it happens in like, you know, video games and stuff, right? Like, I think they also sort of struggle with that too. Like every game that I can think of that has sort of that, like, that break in the mechanics to like do this other thing tries to attack it in that way of just like, well, let's just have a totally different, I don't know, mini game bolted onto it.
I'm replaying Final Fantasy VII remake.
Yes. Yeah.
And in the sequel, the second part of that remake, is I could read any review of that and they'll be like, there's too many mini games in this.
Yeah.
Because like, and you know, occasionally you get a fun mini game, but sometimes you get ones like, I don't really understand this one. Mm-hmm. I don't want to learn it. And like, but I've got to win this Queen's Blood, you know, tournament or whatever. Queen's Blood's actually one of the better mini games in Final Fantasy. But there's another one. It's like this tower defense board game. And it pulls up and it's just like, I just need a button that's like, skip.
Yeah.
I'm not playing this for like a weird mini game. And you know, I'm not coming to D&D for like,
mm-hmm.
if you like D&D, it's because you like the things that it puts emphasis on already, right? Like you don't really want to stop and do something totally different for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. Is that, or just real quick, is that mini game the Mount Condor tower defense?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
I don't understand it. Yeah. I don't get it. It seems impossible. I've watched like YouTube. I mean, this, you know, this is when you start Googling like, you know, Condor's Gambit cheese or something, yes, like that, right? Yeah, like, just, yeah, tell me how to just get my way through this stupid mini game.
Yeah, that's,
but there's like stuff locked. Yeah. Chunks of the game are locked behind it, so it's like, yeah, oh, gosh.
It's funny, Andy. If it helps, it is also inscrutable in the original game. Okay, so, yes, yeah, yes. And it's much, yeah, it's not my favorite part.
right.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, but yeah, it's. I think that is a really good point, like what you said right there just at the end of like, you know, if you are getting together to play, you know, a tabletop role-playing game, like, I think you need to think very carefully as a GM if you're going to all of a sudden say, like, actually, we're not playing that right now.
Right.
We're going to do this other thing. Yeah, but
I mean, it's certainly fun in dedicated moments, like mm-hmm. you breaking out that castles and warriors and or whatever at last year's RFTCon where mm-hmm. people are flinging catapult things at your little blocks, castle blocks that you've assembled. Like, that's fun when everyone's in on the joke, right?
Yes. I mean, I think that's the big thing. It's but if you gotta be in on the joke. I'm always threatening to make us play like kickball or softball at Roll for Topicon. as a little diversion. But yeah. Anyway, like, I'm thinking about the going back to like in universe, right? Like, I think like humans play games, right? Like, you know, so it's a little strange if you had a like, if your campaign had no references to like other in universe games. And stuff in it. Like, yeah. So like, I know like I've run, you know, like little side scenarios here and there. Like, you know, if there's someone that wants to get into kind of like a bar bet, you know, bar bet over something, like, yeah, who can break a rock faster and harder, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Than the other person. Or like, yeah. Or like you're playing some sort of like, I feel like there's some D&D game, like card game that comes up every time. It's like, Dragon Solitaire or something. I don't I mean, and all that stuff that ends up being sort of abstracted down to a single die roll, which you can manipulate, right? And all that. And I think like that's fun, because I think it does get at a little bit of like if you are the sort of person to become a hero, right? If your character is the sort of person to go hero, they're probably competitive, right? Like, they're probably competitive. Yeah. They've probably been playing games like this, and not just like childhood games. They, you know, like if you threw a soccer ball down, like they'd want to figure out how to be the best at it too. So I think like it's an important part of like a culture, right? Of like a town too. I think we talked about this last time, like the town that I live in, right? It's very football focused, right? With University of Michigan and stuff. So it's like, if you were playing a game, you know, that was set in Ann Arbor and it didn't reference football in some way, it'd be like, what are you, like, you're missing, you're missing something.
Yep.
You're missing something about like what the culture actually is here. Yeah. Which I'll just say, like, I mean, thinking about like, you know, the World Cup and stuff like this, it does have me thinking a little bit more about like, you know, character concepts of having, you know, having your characters or like your NPCs, like, have that kind of sports history almost, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, like, how, you know, like you have the sort of the quote unquote powerful people in your towns, like whatever the mayor or whatever, you know, like those sorts of people you define, but you also have like kind of like the celebrity people who are going to be powerful in the town too. Mm-hmm. Right. So maybe they don't become the mayor, but like if there's some sort of like, you know, famous football star, right? Like, people are still going to treat them with respect that they, you know, might not otherwise. Right. And so I think like that is a vector to kind of explore and explore, I guess, within kind of like the culture of your town.
Yeah. When I think about, if you don't want to have a separate mini game for like every type of game or sport they can play, you know, like what are, you know, you could adapt the combat engine of D&D and like, you know, play a soccer match, but I'm going to move up this way and I'm going to roll to see if I pass the ball successfully or whatever. But, you know, like when you, whether it's sports or sitting down to play cards, I mean, there is stuff, the interesting stuff about the interesting questions to ask are, how are you playing this? Not whether, do you have the high enough skill to just beat the other person. It's more interesting, right? Like, are you playing aggressively? Are you playing conservatively? Are you going to bide your time and wait for perfect opportunities? Or are you going to, you know, grab for everything? Are you playing competitively? Are you being cutthroat? Are you taking it easy and being overly nice to the other players, right? Like, there's questions about the approach you're taking that are very interesting that aren't especially modelable in like something like D&D, unless you do create your own sort of subsystem to handle this stuff. But I mean, it sounds kind of fun. Like, I don't want to sit down and play a game of real life poker, but it does sound kind of fun to have everyone going around and say, well, for the first half of the night, I'm going to play conservative, or I'm going to like purposely kind of lose and make it look like I'm not doing so well, so that I can, you know, and that's part of my strategy. Cause then their guard will be down. And the second half of the game, I'm going to start getting cutthroat about it. You know, there's interesting things you can say about your approach that have nothing to do with like whether you and your players around the table actually know how to play poker or not. Right. Yeah, or you know, the rules of soccer or whatever.
That's a really good point. Yeah. Cause it is, I feel like poker is such a good example of a game that like is, like there are mechanics to it, but it's also just like so emotional, right? When played around a table with friends. I mean, I know like modern poker, online poker is very different in different ways, but like the few times that I've played poker, like it is so much about like human psychology, right? Than sort of what the cards are doing for you. Although, you know, there's stuff that I definitely would need to learn if I was ever going to play again. So it is interesting, right? And like the end result of that can be like camaraderie, right, between the people that played, or can be, you know, like a vicious disagreement, right? Like, you know, so there's a lot that I think you can lead into then for kind of the narrative and the game, like the gamey part outside of the game, like, you know, back into the like kind of the narrative that you're telling.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's all of these games at the World Cup, I mean, a lot of them, I hear people talking about them because they make great stories, right?
Yes.
I mean, not every game makes a great story, but enough of them do. And you're like, can you believe they came back at the last minute, or he did this crazy kick at the end, and, you know, or they did this maneuver, or they were down a person and somehow they managed to win anyway, you know, stuff like that. There's great stories. You know, it's a great story. It's just how to try and grab the essence of that and, you know, in something that doesn't take forever at the game table.
Yes. Yeah. It's like the taking forever, forever part. Andy, I think I should make you watch the Mexico England game. I think you might. Yeah. Like, even if you know nothing about sports, that one in particular was like maybe the craziest game I've ever seen.
Okay.
But yeah, it was anyway. Okay. All right. Well, we should wrap it up there. I think we've kind of talked around a little bit. I mean, this one, I'm interested to hear from other people if you have run a game within a game and it was particularly successful. Like part of me is curious. It's like, can it be interesting other than kind of coming down to like, more of a social die roll, like, right? Like, can you kind of do more with it? But yeah, anyway, well, that will do it for us. I think you have any other final thoughts before we close out?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the question is like, I mean, if your characters are playing chess in their game, like chess is fun in real life, right?
Yeah.
Like, so how do you do something that's like captures the fun of chess without actually playing chess?
Yes.
Right. You know, I don't know if you can, but
it's interesting.
Let us know though, if you've succeeded and how it went. We'd like to hear it. So.
Cool. Well, thanks Andy for having this conversation. I appreciate it. That helped me kind of think through some stuff too, but,
You know, there are like some sports RPGs out there.
Yes. Yeah. We should mention before, like, you know, put your email down, before. Yeah. Like, I mean, I know like, you know, the Warhammer universe has Blood Brawl, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
I've seen RPGs that like will model like you play through a season of baseball, right, or whatever. And I don't know how much RPG is in there versus like kind of management sim or something. I just don't know the genre, but like people are doing it, and you know, people must have found some kind of a sweet spot for this. Whether you could take that and plug it into your D&D game, I don't know. But
yes, yeah, yeah. All right, well, okay, I think that does it for us. Yeah, if you want to, you can go check out Andy on his other podcast, Zombie Strains with John Corey. It is super good, and you can find them, I think, just at, is it zombiestrains.com? I think it's
zombiestrainspodcast.com. I was chewed out by my co-host last time I failed to provide the URL. So
yeah,
okay. It's probably zombiestrainspodcast.com, but I'm sure if you go to your favorite podcast thing and search for Zombie Strains, it'll show up.
Yeah, it'll be.
It'll show up as a top result because that's how, you know,
yeah, you, big we are. You've got it locked in. I'm sure if you just go to the list of like best podcasts,
I mean,
be
Spotify probably will just push it on you by default.
yes. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, that does it for us. I've been Chris Salzman.
I've been Andy Rao.
And remember, if your players have been fun, you're a great GM.